And that's the theme song you're hearing.
No, we're not recording yet. Go back. Go back, you sassy boy.
Okay, so either you just heard what Darren said, and that's great, or you did it, and you can just hear me laughing, and the theme song's playing right now. Great, that'll be great.
That'll be great. And this week's brought to you by Jelly Beans. Welcome to the Great Jelly Bean Party. Did I not tell you it's the Jelly Bean Party? It's Jelly Bean time.
You're such an absolute twit.
Are you kidding me? It's Jelly Bean time. I sent out a memo about 6 weeks ago saying,
"You freaking kidding me, dude? It's Jelly Bean time."
On December 2nd, it's going to be Jelly Bean time. You should have known by then.
I'd like to point out that Darren likes to not date our podcasts and like ground them in time in any way, shape, or form. But he also likes to say December 2nd is Jelly Bean time.
I think it's pretty clear that December 2nd historically is Jelly Bean time. And I put that on a Google Calendar and I shared it with everybody in the Western Hemisphere.
Okay, so it's officially bad news for anybody who's binging and is trying to be disillusioned by the fact that they're just binging them back to back to back. And now we welcome you back to the time where we took some time off and we're back again. It's same season, same shenanigans.
No, it's Jelly Bean time. That's the only thing that really matters.
You're right, though, honestly, about the Jelly Bean time.
You're one to talk, Mr. Spicy Rice. Yeah, that's right.
Here's the thing.
I can dig up the past. Tell it to my tombstone.
Here's the thing about my rice eating tendencies that you don't understand. That they're none of your damn business.
It's like the Mayan calendar. It has to go off at exactly whether it's
jelly
podcast
bean
time or not. No, Jelly Bean time was meant to be on the podcast. It's very important.
Darren, how the heck are you?
You know.
I feel like we haven't spoken in minutes.
We have, and yeah. No, actually, I'm doing very fantastic.
Yeah?
My life is good, and this time I actually wrote down a list of talking points of things that happened to me in my day so that I won't end up being that guy.
Oh, how the tables have turned. On a completely unrelated note, Darren, why don't you give me some of your talking points first?
Okay, so I went to, there's a store, and it's some numbers, right? So 7-Eleven exists as a store. Now, I need to give you a slight amount of background about where I live in the world.
I thought you were going to say on 7-Eleven. I was like, I don't think we need to really go through the whole history of 7-Eleven, but go off, King.
Now, you're familiar with 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, right? 11 happened, and then they needed to combine it in a new, fun, quinky branding way. I was going to say quirky and it's like quirky and kinky at the same time.
No,
I live in an area which I this is a preface to the story I'm about to tell, is the highest insurance for your car of any municipality in Canada, because
really?
Bad things happen. I mean, somebody did blow up a car outside my house,
right?
In the last 2 years,
I think
like
that's canon on the podcast. I think we remember that, but maybe we don't. But either way,
I don't know.
That's
I wasn't there.
Wild.
I was off in Chilliwack saying hi with my family. Or something. I wasn't there. I just got home and my landlords were... I like how that's my aside. That's not the story.
Sorry about
I'm
the
really
tangent about the car getting blown up. Now back to my weird, boring stuff about the convenience store.
Anyway, so this entire city I live in, Surrey of Canada, Surrey, son of Canada, is known for one thing. It's literally... The stereotype is that it is full of crime and that everybody hates it, which I think is overblown, but, you know, whatever. So I go. There's a convenience store near my house of the 7-Eleven type, and this is the most Mary Poppins fantasy world I have ever stepped into. I get there, there is a car in the parking lot with the door slightly open, keys in the ignition, on, nobody's in the car.
Oh, no.
And I go, okay, all right. I go inside, because I'm confused.
Yeah.
There is nobody in the store, as far as I can tell, from there's nobody behind the till, and there's nobody behind the counter.
Oh.
The front door is unlocked.
Oh. Wait,
and
what?
I know. And then somebody walks out from the aisles. It's not the guy who would normally be taking the payments. It's just a guy whose arm is full of chip bags. So he's going to buy something. So I go get some milk, you know, as a boy do.
As
That's
a boy do.
That's why I was there. I wanted to get some strawberry milk because I like milk. So I go, I turn around. And this is where I realize what's happening is somebody pulled up to a 7-Eleven, left their car running, went inside, browsed around, got things, went over to the till to pay, couldn't pay because the guy who was working there went to the bathroom, left the front door unlocked, and was the only one on shift. Huh. And then when I was getting the milk, I went back and somebody else was inside. I go back outside and there are three people's bikes, not chained up, lying in the parking lot as they go inside the 7-Eleven.
What?
And I go, how? And this is an area where very frequently there's like four or five homeless people who are like asking for money and stuff. And I'm like, in what universe?
Oh, man.
Have I stepped into it? Not a single person did anything not according to normal social convention. Everybody was super nice. They all did everything perfectly. And I went, I went outside and I stole three bikes and a car. But other than
right.
that, everybody went perfectly along what you would assume would happen.
Ah, that's what I was going to ask. Now, Darren, one more time, let's get the bit.ly link that you have created to the Craigslist ad where you are selling three bikes and a car. That bit.ly link, one more time, is...
Oh, no, it's Facebook Marketplace. I'm brazen about this.
Oh, you're okay. Yeah, that's fair. You're fun. I get it.
It's bit.ly/theseamabikes.
bit.ly/thesearemybikes. And that will take you to that cool ad.
And the car. But I figured I went back to my neighbor's house and I blew up a car outside their house. That way I just wanted to, like, you know, pay it forward.
Oh, man. So it's all you, huh? You're just the reason that these insurance rates are getting driven up. Can I say something, Darren?
Yep.
That's not very quinky of you. That is super unquinky.
But I want to be quinky.
Yeah, we all want to be quinky, but nobody's perfect.
Let's do a segment call. I'm about to Google this to confirm it's not something racist or horribly offensive.
Yeah, let's do that, actually. That's a good Google sesh. Depending on how things go, we'll have to decide how much editing I have to do later. That'll be fun.
Urban Dictionary, the compound word between cute and kinky, used for all things that are kinky in a cute way.
Aw, so how's that spelled? Because I hate it, and I want to know how to delete it from my history.
And the other half of the search results are about Quinky Dink, which completely rewrites everything I knew about the world.
Oh! Wait, is that how people are spelling Coinky Dink? As in coincidence?
I think it's bone apple teeth.
Ah, bone apple mm-hmm. teeth.
So that was my 7-Eleven story. I have a lot of me going to do a basic human thing that shouldn't be interesting, and then the world around me is just being a little off.
To be fair, Darren, as long as I've known you, that has been basically the walking title of your autobiography, is Darren tries to do a normal human thing, and the world around him says, no, not today. Like, you go out into the world, you're like, so all I wanted to do was go for a jog. And then, whoops, I accidentally sort of stole a dog from a person, because how could it be your fault? Although, here's what I'm starting to think. Honestly, with you admitting to stealing these bikes in this car, I'm starting to wonder if maybe a lot of it's just your fault, and you're bad at admitting to your own mistakes.
No, I think it's just me giving in to what the universe wants of me.
Like, peer pressure if your friend was real big and the universe.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. People don't often talk about universe pressure, but it's very real.
Yep, definitely.
It's like the ultimate social faux pas.
Well, it's kind of like, you're aware of gravity. That's like peer pressure if you think about it.
I'd like you to take three steps back and think about that sentence that you felt like you needed to say to me, another person.
Have you not heard?
You know gravity. You know it's not
just a John Mayer song. It's kind of like, you know how they named the color orange after the fruit?
Oh, no, hold on, hold on.
They didn't name the universal fundamental force after the John Mayer song. It's actually the other way around.
Okay, I'm going to be the bigger man right now. I'm going to admit, thought we were talking about the John Mayer song. So let's hear this other thing that you're talking about, this big force. Let's talk about that. Let's make that the second half
of the show. Gravity is kind
of
like peer pressure. You should be on the ground right now.
Two verses and a chorus and there's a bridge, maybe? I don't know the song Gravity by John Mayer that well.
If you Stevie Nicks style go your own way, you just float into the sky. You call it another, what are the lyrics? Lonely day? Lovely day?
Sure.
I don't know the lyrics to go your own way.
No, that's fine. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
I don't worry about most things. Hi, my name's Darren.
That's the subtitle to your autobiography or your second autobiography. I actually don't worry about most things. Hi, I'm Darren. And it's written that way for some reason. Top of the title is, I don't worry about most things. And the subtitle is, hi, I'm Darren.
So that was a fun... God damn it. That was a fun ditty about my week. How's you drinking out of that Ninja Turtles mug like you own the place?
Don't say it on air or else we owe those turtles money, and I don't want to owe them any more pizza money, the dirty turtles.
Wow, just the speciesism coming through.
If by speciesism you mean I fucking hate turtles, then yeah, dude, speciesism all the way.
Well, this week is brought to you by straws.
How was my week? Well, here's a fun little sort of gap in time that I will admit to because I can't not talk about it. I'm no longer a university student, and that is a thrill beyond most things that I thought that I would experience. I'm quite happy with it. Last Friday, I had such a good day. I had such a fun time everywhere from completely finishing being a student for the rest of my life indefinitely unless I decide to do a master's degree or something. All the way up until the minute I got kicked out of a local bar, it was just like, it was such a good, just all around such a good day.
Yeah. Why'd you get kicked out of a bar?
How did I get kicked out of a bar? Tell you what, let's
not how. I'm pretty sure they pushed you out. I'm going to go with why.
I will tell you why I got kicked out of a bar after the break. I promise I'll tell you. I promise I'll tell you after the break.
Oh, it's a jelly bean break. Nom, 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 nom. You know, DJ, speaking of beans, you know what else that I find to be extremely edible?
All right.
Black tar heroin.
Oh, I was worried. I was so worried. I thought it might be a thing that wasn't the thing, and it was. Hi. Hi, everyone. No, shut up. Hi.
This is one of those PSA for kids.
Shut your damn mouth. You're probably wondering why it's still us. We want to take a break, but Darren and DJ are still here. Well, it's because we have to talk to you about stuff that makes us that sweet... I can't fucking... Okay. Please, go look at our YouTube channel, Rainproof Media. Here's what's happening on Rainproof Media this week. Darren is allowed to talk about the first thing, and we'll see if he blows it.
This week... This week we have Edible. It features a vase of flowers, DJ at a table.
Keep going!
I forget what the episode
Keep
is.
Going.
I'm looking... I gotta... Shit.
What do I do? What do I do in the episode?
You talk... I don't have it in front of me. It's really funny. It's good. Trust me.
Oh, it's really funny. Okay.
Have you ever had a friend that's come to your house in the middle of the night and been knocked on your door until you've woken up, and then you go, I work in 3 hours, what is it? And they go, you need to see this video, trust me. And it's a good, funny video of a cat. No? Well,
no.
I'm going to do it to you. So heads up.
Don't do that to me, Darren.
This is your one warning.
I need my sleep.
Not today, you don't.
I do today. Most days I need it. I like sleeping. God's sake, Darren.
Why don't you tell us about our other sponsor this week?
Yeah, sure. Well, whatever. I'm basically the face of both of these videos that we're talking about, so whatever. One of them is going to be weird because I'm talking about me. Okay, imagine if you took an entire... Tri-City area in The Sims and you nuked all of it, but no one actually died. You just got rid of all the houses. Hi, you're gonna love My Awful Cities. It's a show that me and Darren do where we play The Sims 4, none of that 3 bullshit, and we really just give it to you how it is. We just give it to you straight, and we finally built a boy. We built a strong, beautiful, handsome man with the horrible name of Crick Garvin, and he... is our first leading man in the project that is My Awful Cities.
He's a lover, not a fighter.
Please join me and Darren as we embark on this journey where we are going to rebuild an entire 3 cities worth of The Sims together. The more I think about it, the more exhausted I get, but here we are. So please join us, because I don't want to do this alone, and by alone I mean with Darren, and by with Darren I mean alone. Please, I don't want
to. It's just as draining as a real city planning career. That's what we're going to put on the back of the DVD box.
When we release the DVD of My Awful Cities. Think with your brain about what you're saying before you say it.
No, I still want to release DVDs. They'll be decorative.
You want to release DVDs of our YouTube shows that we upload?
Yeah, and I want to do it, instead of having bumper stickers, you're just going to tape the DVD to the back of your car.
You're a sack of shit. Is that too hard? I feel like that might be too harsh. I feel like sometimes...
You were so mean, you made me fart.
Okay, that's it. Go to Rape Media on YouTube. You gotta go. You gotta go check it out. Because it's the high society of garbage. You're gonna love it. Come be the trash king with both of us.
Have fun with the trash boys.
So here's the deal. Basically, in terms of why I got kicked out of a bar, it depends on how you want to trace the origins of how the night happened exactly.
So you made a prequel movie.
I'm going to sort of do this in a bit of a Wes Anderson style, and what I'll tell you is how the night ended. I ended my night in a fit of paranoia that I had upset the entire bar. And I was convinced that I had done all the wrong things. I had a very good time with my lovely friends. It took very good care of me. Here's the sort of anticlimactic, and this is the reason that I won't end with this part of the story. I stumbled, man. I literally just walked funny. Literally. And then I got tapped on the shoulder by a security guard, and he said, "Let's go, we gotta go." And I was like, "What?" And he took me outside, and I was just like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "You gotta go, man. You're clearly super intoxicated." And I was like, "I'm not that drunk." And this is where we're gonna jump back.
So I was 7.
That night, I was at dinner with Alexa. I got a beer at dinner, had a good time with dinner, had some pizza. It was great. I was done that beer, and my phone was about to die. And Lex said, "I gotta go. I got a prior commitment." I said, "Sounds good. I gotta go. I have a prior commitment," which is downtown.
Is that actually downtown, or is that the bathroom? Are you referring to a bathroom joke?
No. It was downtown for real. I didn't just go to the bathroom to have an experience. I actively decided that I would just take the bus downtown. I didn't need a ride. I was fine, whatever. Alexa left, and then almost as soon as she left, my phone died. Now, being out in public and needing to take public transportation and not having a phone on you is... I mean, it's a problem that I think a lot of people have faced in the past, but for me, as a person who grew up entirely relying on their phone as, like, the means to using public transportation, especially since I didn't take a city bus until I lived in Victoria as a university student, so
yeah,
really just had no idea how to, like, I understand how to check bus schedules, like, I do get it, but it is still weird when you're not near a bus stop.
Just not, just that level of, I know, but I'm not confident is a terrifying level of social anxiety I want to get over. No, I'm with you, and I'm pretty sure most of our audience is with you, too.
I decided to deal with that anxiety in what I would say is a non-recommended way.
Violence.
I did just sort of wander across the road to a liquor store and pick up a small bottle of vodka. What to say? What to include? So I got to the bar.
Wow. So you, fresh out of university, on your last legs.
I'm not going to be specific about what happened while I made my journey, but I will say I went to a liquor store and purchased a bottle of vodka. I arrived at the bar with no such bottle.
Aw, you kindly gave it to a house party of people who still are students.
And are of legal drinking age. Of course, if I gave the bottle away, hypothetically, let's not forget that.
Oh, no, it could be PhD students. They could be older than you.
Sure. I got to the bar and I was pretty toasted. And I sort of walked in the door and I was like, "Hi. I'm here for a reservation that's either at 6:30 or 7, but I can't remember what time it's at, and my phone has been dead for a while. What time is it now, and when is my reservation?" And she was like, "Oh boy, well," she's like, "it's 6:20, and I was like, "Oh, that's a little early for 6:30. She's like, "Your reservation did get bumped to 7. And I'm like, "Oh boy, my phone's dead, and I'm downtown, and I have no friends here." Well, so I went and sat at the bar. I had a couple more beers, and then I went and sat with my friends when they eventually arrived.
Now, hold up. When you say had a couple more beers, it implies...
I do literally mean two. I do actually mean a couple.
Just the wording of "I had a couple more beers" implies you already had some beers.
I did have a beer. I had a beer with dinner.
So you had beer, vodka, beer?
Yeah. I had a beer at dinner. I had a vodka. And then I had two beers. Yeah. At that point, I've had all that on my own. My friends arrive. And I show up at the table. I'm like, what up? Because I love that commercial from the early aughts. And they're like, huh, you're okay. So you're already pretty fucked up. And I was like, yep. I came to play. And so and then my friends are like, okay, we're just ordering drinks. And I was like, you know what? I've already had a lot. I shouldn't have any more. And then the narrator butted in and said, but he had more.
God damn it.
I had a couple more beers. And then a friend of mine was like, let's get some gin and tonics. And I was like, why singles? And I would say that's about the point where the night I definitely got out of control. Some would argue that the shimmer of vodka at the beginning of the night definitely set things off on the wrong foot. But I would
Holy
say
shit, dude.
Set very firmly in my ways that it was those gin and tonics that absolutely pushed me to a point where I was intolerable. And I genuinely thought I was fine. And then I guess I just stumbled down some stairs. I was doing an awful lot of sitting and conversing with my fellow friends. And then as soon as I got inside of a security guard, they're like, yo, this guy's got to fucking get out of here. He absolutely can't be in the building.
You know what? You know what? I am kind of on the security guard side at this point.
Oh, yeah, it's hard not to be when you hear the whole story. But yeah. He like, you know, he got me out of there and I was like, okay, my jacket's still up there. And he was like, all right, let's go get your jacket. So my friends watched me leave our table to go to the bar. And then my friends watched me come back upstairs and they were like, there's DJ. And then there's a security guard behind him. That's weird. He's following him so closely. And then I grabbed my jacket. I was like, peace, guys. See ya. I just didn't anticipate it happening at all. I thought I was super chill. And then it just took somebody being like, you're very drunk and you need to leave. And I was like, I'm very drunk and I need to leave. It was like a Jedi mind trick.
I need to go home and rethink my life.
You don't want to sell me death sticks.
Oh, man. Have you at least felt like that was a nice bookend to your high school and university? I suppose university.
I would say it was not a bookend to my high school experience. It was, I haven't been in high school for some years, but thank you so much for looking at my youthful face and thinking that I could pull that off. It was an interesting bookend to my university experience, for sure. It was, what's the word? Tolerable? It was tolerable. I had fun.
Okay.
I'd like to see my friends again.
But I'm in jail now.
Oh, bean break. Oh, for fuck's sake with the bean break, hey?
You know, with bean break, there was actually a reason I went and got jelly beans. I tricked you into thinking those is just a mere segue. Hold up, shit, I'm chewing.
I'll wait.
So I have a bone to pick with Beloved Children's Media. This is a new segment. It's called Darren Has a Bone to Pick with Beloved Children's Media.
Can I just give you a really, really, really quick feedback on this? The title, it's snappy and I love it.
Perfect, because I'm very set in my ways.
Why is that us communicating about everything? Hey, I actually kind of like that. Well, good, because I'm doing it.
You know, and people who know me will know this really contradicts who I am in real life.
Because I'm set my ways. Okay, what's your stupid segment? I'm ready for it.
So Harry Potter.
Oh,
Forget the magic part, okay? Forget all of the magic that happens. The single most unbelievable part of the entire book series, of the entire universe, is the fact that every single person knew what flavor bean they were eating.
Oh my god.
There is no mention that the magic tells you what it is, and people could name shit like tripe. Are you kidding me? I can barely tell what kind of meat I'm eating in a taco.
Like, here's the thing, is that stepping outside of the world, the wonderful world of Harry Potter slightly, when you buy Bertie Bott's Every Flavor Beans from, like, Universal Studios or something, or a candy shop, they have labels, and every color has a flavor, and you, like, you see the color that you're eating, and they have the label on the box. But the thing is, they're limited by the realism of the actual world that we live and breathe in. Because what you're talking about is actually super valid, because the world they live in implies it can literally be every single flavor. Literally anything that has a discernible flavor, it can be.
And this is the weird part, too, is they don't say, like, oh, I got brass. They'll be like, oh, I got doorknob. And it's like, How the hell do you know? Was there like skin residue from people's hands? Like
how? Like how do you know it's doorknob and not handrail?
That's the most Sherlock Holmes level magic. Everyone's genuinely like, when I eat Jelly Bellies, if I'm not looking at the package, I can determine, like buttered popcorn, licorice.
Buttered popcorn is very easy to tell. It's the only one that tastes buttery.
But if you're not like actively like sitting down and thinking while you're eating it, it's just like, sweet, sugar.
There's a lot to consider here because sometimes, and this is the one that does bum me out in a major way, and I'm pretty sure I'm not making this up. There is one point in one of those movies where somebody eats a bean and they say, oh, I think I got troll bogeys. Implying that,
so that they're
somewhere
a nasty boy.
Along the line, somebody ate troll boogers, or bogeys as they call them. Same thing. Troll snot.
Yep.
Ate it and was like, oh, put this in a bean? Fuck yeah. And,
well, not only that they would put it in a bean, but that the person tasting it, A, knows what the flavor is, and B, it's distinct enough to tell it apart from every other kind of snot.
And it's not just, oh, mucus. Like,
not again.
Oh, mucus, which is obviously, as we all know, mucus is the character in Harry Potter that everyone looks at when there's always trouble, and they're like, oh, mucus, and he's like, so, here's it with me again.
So I have a conspiracy theory based on this, okay? Only one of two things is happening, right? There are multiple times where they're not quite sure. They say they think they know what flavor it is. So there's no magic that's implanting what it is in their head. I thought this out. And it's not listed on it, or else they would just know.
Right, they would check the box.
Exactly. So they have nothing telling them what it is. So either A, they are all geniuses, or have some magic spell which is not listed, which is clearly not true, because in the first book they can do it when they can't do shit for magic.
Right, they don't know anything about magic.
Clearly it's not a magic thing. Or two, there's no actual flavoring and everybody's just making shit up. And they're doing it because this whole thing is a facade. It's a play. We're watching a play, and they're just... The moon landing was faked.
Whoa, that's a joke, but okay.
That's a joke, that's a joke. Voldemort was faked. Where everybody knows that the characters watching or reading the story, it'd be more interesting if they just made up a flavor, because bean-flavored beans wasn't good enough.
And Darren,
put that in your bag and chew it.
Oh, yeah, put that in your bag and chew it. All right, and Darren, that was the end.
One tasted like kneecaps.
Oh, I got ocelot bones. And Darren, that was the end of your segment. That we know the title is. Let's all say it together. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead.
Darren has a bone to pick with beloved children's media.
Children's media. All right. Yeah, we both said it.
Okay,
so
cool.
Darren has a bone to pick with beloved children's media. A fantastic way to end things. And I think, if nothing else, I think what we've all learned is that you should take this very specific piece of information that Darren has brought you about beloved children's media, and you should tell everyone. Tell everyone while you still can, before it's too late, before it's too big of an idea, and you have to...
Gotta light the torches and warn Gondor.
Yeah, do that. I'm sorry, man. I'm really fucking tripped up about this bean thing. I can't even think straight. You really got to me in a big way. We have to go. We have to go. We're done. It's over. My name is DJ. My name is DJ.
And my name's Darren. Sorry, I can't breathe.
Show that to your uncle. It's over. We're done talking about the beans. Never again. That's probably fine, right?
Yeah, it's probably good.
Do we have those souls? I feel like sometimes I get really worried that... I feel like sometimes I get worried at how easily we can turn off very aggressive laughter at each other's jokes, because it makes me worried that we're never genuinely laughing at each other.
No, genuinely, that was laughing really hard. I've just gotten really good at being able to, like, stuff my emotions deep in my soul.
Okay, perfect. I need to actually stop recording now.
Okay, I'll also start recording.